Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to session number 19 of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. My name is Jason Cutter. If you're here tuning in, I appreciate it. We've got some people who are in the Zoom webinar mode, so they're here. I treat that kind of like front stage, front row, live in the action. If you want, say hello in the chat. If you have questions, sales-related stuff, I love answering those when those come up from time to time, either now or after the fact. For others watching in the stream, I appreciate it. Welcome to the show. This is on LinkedIn. It's on Facebook on the Cutter Consulting Group business page, and it's also live streaming to YouTube. So wherever you're watching, please make sure to like, please say hello in the comments. Always love hearing from whoever's out there taking time out of their Friday. I do this every noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. And for some of my new friends in sales in Hawaii, that's 7 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time. And so welcome. Welcome to this. Again, this is session number 19. And what I always love to do is start off with a brief, I'm going to try to keep it brief today, a brief summary of why I do this, and then talk about last week, and then we'll dive into this. So one of the big things, my own mission, what I am focused on is helping fill the world with over a million authentic persuaders. Because if we think about it, just in terms of authentic persuasion, imagine a world where people in sales are using that as a strategy and a process and a mindset, and how great that would be, and shifting sales from being a dirty word. Fundamentally, we're all consumers in our life, and most people don't enjoy being manipulated or taken advantage of or pushed or tricked or bribed or anything like that. And so let's all change that together. That's why I do this. Last week in the session, one of the things I talked about, which is so important, and I see this so many times, is dealing with objections. And if you didn't catch session number 18, you can catch it. Wherever you're watching this, you can watch the replay as well from last week. You can also email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can send you the link for that. Happy to share all the places where it's at. Really, the easiest place to watch this replay is YouTube. I'm posting a lot of stuff on YouTube. So if you're on YouTube, which I'd say most of the planet is, but if you're on YouTube, you're in a sales role or in a leadership role, and you haven't done it yet, please go to YouTube, search Jason Cutter. I think I'm still the only one or the main one on there, the one that comes up in the results as far as the channels go. And then make sure you subscribe, putting out short videos. I've got some medium-sized videos, you know, in the 5 to 10 minute range. I've got these longer training sessions on there. I've got replays of other podcasts, replays of shows that I've been on. So much content. If you're looking for something to watch to help you in sales, leadership, anything like that, check out YouTube. So one of the things that I talked about last week was overcoming objections, but not objections like you're used to thinking about, not objections where it's about how do I deal with price, or how do I deal with, I need to talk to my spouse, or things like that. The kind of stuff that I've been talking about in my private group training programs, where we're dealing with those topics and helping each other overcome that, right? And helping the members deal with that. This topic, one I talked about last week in overcoming objections, was your objections, was things that you come into your sales role with, because fundamentally we're all human. You know, definitely all human, and we all come with baggage. We all come with some level of baggage, some level of past, some level of ideas and experiences and lens on the world and challenges and struggles and things like that when we enter into a sales role, no matter how old you are, right? This isn't about, oh, you've been in the game for a long time. You're older and you've seen a lot of life and you're bringing in baggage. No. Doesn't matter, because even if you're entering your first sales role when you're young, you may have saw your parents struggle with salespeople or buying things and hear their horror stories or hear their regret or see the mistakes they made at the hands of a salesperson who didn't care. And so that's going to be impressed upon you. That's what happened to me. I didn't want to get into sales because I saw my parents deal with it. I saw them every few years have to deal with a salesperson at a car dealership so that they could buy a new car. And the battle ensued, and it just left a negative impression on me. I get into sales, and that's the lens I'm seeing the world of sales, right? It's like, I definitely don't want to do that. So last week I talked about that. Make sure to check that out. It's so important. And if you check that out, or if you don't want to check that out and you want to get some of the information on this, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I have a ebook that I have. It's on Amazon Kindle, but I'm happy to send it to you for free. And it's called A Sales Consultant's Guide to Overcoming Objections, Yours and Theirs, right? So dealing with price, dealing with the spouse, dealing with I need to talk to my boss, dealing with those kind of objections is one thing. But in the ebook, I also help you acknowledge and put a spotlight on the things that might be limiting you in your conversation. So that was a really good one. The topic I covered last week is so important, and it's really a silent killer for so many people in sales that they don't even realize they're limiting themselves, right? They don't realize the barriers they put in place in their own sales process and their own conversation. So make sure to check that out. All right. So this week I want to talk about another, I'm going to say wild topic, interesting topic, debatable topic, shocking topic. I don't know which word to use because there's so many that we could try to apply to this. There's a chapter in the book, in Selling with Authentic Persuasion. What I wanted to do in that book is really cover a lot of different topics. If you don't have a copy of it and you get one, you'll see that it's in three sections. And the people out there watching this, if you have a copy of it, then you know the first section of the book is about authenticity, right? The second section of the book is about persuasion. A lot of people want to instantly go into the tactics and strategies on how to close more deals. The problem is if you don't have the foundation set, if you don't know who you are, why you're selling, what your strengths are, and you don't understand the mindset of being successful as a sales professional, I could give you all the tactics in the world. I could tell you exactly what to say to move someone forward or overcome price objections. Won't do any good if you don't believe in it, if you don't believe in yourself, if you don't even know why you're there, you don't know why you're selling it, and you don't see yourself as a leader and how that's valuable in the transaction. All those tips, literally like building a house on sand, it's not going to do any good. And so that's why it's set up in that way. So the authenticity piece is important. That's why it's not persuasive authenticity, it's authentic persuasion, because that order is literally critical for success, right? Then there's a third section in the book, which isn't in the title, but the third section is the intangibles. It's those little things that make a big difference when up against a professional opponent. In sports, right? In basketball, for example, intangibles are referred to as those little things that a team will do or a player will do that doesn't make it on the stat sheet. Right? It's the little things that don't show up. It's the hustle. It's the diving for a basketball. It's just disrupting somebody from their normal game, which isn't going to show up on a stat, right? It's not a block. It's not a steal. It's not a basket, but it's those other things. It's the intangibles. It's the hard to track things that don't fit in on any stat sheet, but it's literally the difference between one professional winning over another one. The thing that you have to keep in mind is that you're a professional up against a serious professional, which is the mind, the fears, the worries, the doubts, the past experiences of that prospective buyer you're dealing with, and all of that that comes with it. I don't mean just in their existence, right? Not just their baggage and what they have, but we're talking about eons of human evolution that hates change and fears that, because that could lead to danger, harm, and death, right? So that's what you're up against. Now, this topic here is in chapter 18, which is part of the intangible section. And this is where it's like, okay, if you want to play at a pro level, these are the kind of things that you've got to do and you've got to focus on. And the title of the chapter is Addressing the Cancellation
paradox. Now, what do I mean by the cancellation paradox? Now, a paradox is where you think one thing should be true, but it's not, and it doesn't seem to fit. It doesn't make sense. Like, it's something weird, right? And so with the cancellation paradox, what I'm referring to and what I want people to realize is that if you're a sales professional, if you're in sales, if you're in any sales capacity, you're going to have people that are going to cancel. You're going to have people that are going to change their mind. They're going to refund what they're going to ask for a refund. They're going to ask for a cancellation. They're going to return whatever they bought if it's a tangible physical product. But there's going to be some kind of changing of their mind that will lead to a non-customer, a non-client, right? And so what this is really the buyer's remorse kicking in. What happens is they bought something, you've moved them forward, they've agreed to buy it, they've gone home or they've gone away or got off the phone or whatever they've done, and then they've changed their mind. They said, oops, I shouldn't have done that. I don't want to do that. This isn't a good fit. Now, obviously, if it's a tangible product, if it's a commodity, if it's something like I bought these shoes and I just don't like them and I'm taking them back, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about when you're selling something that would be called a considered purchase, which is there's a qualification. There's a, is this a good fit for me? Does this make sense? And it's got some kind of cost or value to it. Again, it could be custom-made luxury dress shirts, right? So it doesn't have to be a $10,000 product or a $5,000 product, or it doesn't have to be significant relative to, you know, an overall cost. It's just relative to what's normal in that space, right? Because somebody can just go to a store and buy a dress shirt, or are we talking about something like that, where it's a considered purchase, things like energy choices and solar and renovation and B2B SaaS platforms and, you know, all kinds of things where it's a considered purchase. That's what we're talking about, where somebody qualified, moved them forward. Afterwards, they change their mind and go, yeah, this is, I don't want this. I don't need this. This isn't a good fit. I changed my mind. Or I went along with what they said and then realized I really don't want this. And so that's the key. That's what we're talking about here, is that kind of scenario. Now, let's talk about the definition of a cancellation, because there's a lot of people, and I talk about this in the book, that are in some kind of sales process where there is no cancellation. To me, a cancellation, right? If we're just using that word for anything, could be a refund, could be a return, but we're talking about someone canceling. It's a part in the process where they shouldn't be changing their mind. And if they do, it's going against the flow and it's a buyer's remorse step. Even if, and this is important for people out there who are selling different things, even if they haven't bought yet. So I'll give you an example. One of my very first real sales job, air quotes, as a professional, I won't get into why I don't think it's a sales job, because at the time I was an order taker in the height of the real estate boom. But it was in the mortgage business. It was helping people get a loan for a refinance or to buy a house. Now, if you go through with a transaction, they're not going to cancel and get a refund, right? You can't buy a house and get a mortgage and then a week later go, I changed my mind. I really don't want to do this, right? That's not a thing. Now, when you do a refinance, there's a 3-day right of rescission, a 5-day right of rescission. That's definitely a cancellation. If somebody gets the refinance and goes, you know what, this is not a good deal and I changed my mind, that's a huge red flag, right? If that happens to you, then something's up. In the mortgage process, though, is there's a part where we need to pull your credit. We need to fill out this documentation and people should go along with it, right? There should be enough basis of a pre-qualification where it now makes sense to pull credit. If you find yourself having people who do not want their credit pulled, do not want to give you their social security number, do not want to fill out the paperwork, and they should, to me, that's kind of in this category where they should move forward. They should have done the thing, basically bought into the process, and they didn't. And so where does that fit in? Now, obviously, in other situations, it's very clear what a cancellation is. When you're selling a service, they signed up for that service. They've given you all the information. Maybe they've paid, or maybe they're supposed to pay in the next 30 days, this next 7 days, next 10 days, and then they change their mind. They literally call up, they email, they do whatever in the process and say, I want to cancel. I changed my mind. That's what we're talking about. That's what a cancellation is. Now, here's where it gets into the paradox. Here's where it gets into the not controversial, but the kind of a strange approach that I have, and somewhat shocking, especially when I first tell people this, and then they realize how valid this approach is, what I think as my thought process. So let's look at one end of the spectrum, which is zero cancellations. What does zero cancellations mean, right? And that should be the ideal, because what you should want is to have nobody change their mind. Right? If I sell 10 widgets, I want 10 happy people who go on in their life with the widget and never cancel, never call, never refund, never want their money back, never want any of that. Right? And that's what we'd want. If I sell 10 people credit repair services, then all 10 people stick, and that's amazing. And that's what we want. At some level, yes, that's what you want. At a high level, of course, that's what we want. I want you to only sell people who want the product and it's a good fit and the value is there. I want you to only persuade those people to move forward because it's great. Here's the rub with that. Here's the challenge. If you have a zero cancellation or cancellation attempt, right? And I'll talk about that in a second. But if you have a zero cancellation or cancellation attempt ratio, what that means is you're really only moving people forward who were very clear on what they wanted, and they were very open to it, and they knew it would help them, and they did not change their mind. Which means, in my experience and what I've seen, is you're more of an order taker. Because literally, if those 10 people buy and no one cancels, tries to cancel, has any questions after the fact, doesn't want a refund, then you basically moved the 10 easy clients who already knew what they wanted forward, which is not bad, but that means you're more on the order taker scale. The challenge is that that probably also means, and I would guess based on all the years and all the salespeople and all the teams and all the stuff that I've seen, is that you also have a lower closing percentage than either what the company expects or what others have. And the reason why that is because you're not moving more people forward. You're only moving the easy people forward, right? Now, it could be a sign that you're amazing. Could be a sign that literally you sell 10 people and nobody has an issue and nobody ever wants to cancel and everything is great and everyone loves you and everything is happy and literally they can't wait to tell their friends about you. That could be very true as well, as long as you have a good closing ratio, right? And I've been in some industries where the standard is that somebody should be in the 20 to 25% closing ratio as a salesperson, right? Then I have a salesperson on the team who's got a 0% cancellation rate and a 10% closing rate instead of 20 to 25. What that tells me, again, they're an order taker, taking the easy ones. Nothing wrong with that. Again, the whole thing with this is identifying where you are so that you can figure out what you might want to do to get to where you would rather be, right? The kind of salesperson you want to be, the kind of results you would rather have. And so we want to get you there. If that's where you want to be to win at your game that you're playing and what you see as success and what you want to achieve, right? That's about you. If you're closing 10% and others are closing 20, 25%, others are closing 30% and it's compliant, they're doing the right thing. They're not, you know, in the gross category, which we're going to talk about next. But if you're closing at 10% and others are closing more, then you're taking the easy conversations and closing the easy prospective customers. It's just fundamentally what that is. In my experience and studying a lot of psychology, behavior, and how people operate, what they think, different personality types, things like DISC and Myers-Briggs and all of these other things out there, and developing my own personality behavior matrix that I help teams and salespeople apply to what they're doing, I found that you can pretty much always expect about 10% of the population will just buy anything, right? Some of them will just buy anything if it sounds good and they like the salesperson, they'll just go with it, right? Others, it's about, you know, you have enough at bats, you're going to get lucky, right? You're going to get lucky with somebody or just stumble on that, right? And again, that's not bad. I'm not trying to be negative to people who are closing at a low level. It's just, that's where you're at. How do you get to more? So one of the things, if you have a 0% cancellation rate and a low closing rate, you're basically closing the easy ones in my experience. All right. So let's put a pin in that. And let's talk about the other end of the spectrum. Somebody who's got a really high cancellation rate. Let's say somebody who sells 10 deals and like 6, 7, 8 of them try to cancel. And of course, companies usually have a retention team or the salesperson's doing their own retention. And so, you know, they're trying to save those deals. Maybe they save some of them. And then out of 10 sales, 3 of them end up canceling, right? So we went from 0% on one end of the order taker scale, and then we got 30% on the other or more. And for me, as a manager, as a leader, as a consultant, and what I look at with the data is, again, not just the cancels, but the cancellation attempts, right? Because retention could be very good at saving it now, and it ends up canceling later. They save it now, but that person just says, fine, I won't cancel, but I'm still pissed. And I'm still going to tell others that I don't like you, and I don't like what happened, and I don't like your product or service, right? And that is equally negative and damaging, sometimes more damaging when retention is overly effective and then isn't mindful of the fact that you might have saved somebody, but you saved a very angry customer who's going to tell the world, right? And that's equally dangerous, sometimes more dangerous and damaging, because if you had just canceled that person and given them a refund, they might have gone away. Overly effective retention can cause some issues. So I look at the cancellation attempts. How many cancellation cases does a salesperson have? And if it's too far at the other end of the spectrum, where it's just happening a lot, that means that salesperson's doing some things that they shouldn't be doing. It's not producing good results. It's not actually producing what the company needs. And what's happening is it's producing upset, unhappy customers who changed their mind. So usually what happens, it means overselling. It means setting the wrong expectations and overpromising. Sometimes it means underselling and not setting the right expectation of what's actually involved. It means their salesperson might not be talking about the trade-offs, because nothing is a perfect product or solution. There's always a trade-off. If you want a really good, fast car, it won't be cheap, right? So there's always a trade-off in everything. To think that this software platform is amazing and it does everything, it's not true. There's always going to be a downside. There's always going to be something that doesn't work right or isn't complete. And if it is complete, it's going to be expensive, right? It's going to be crazy expensive. And so there's always a trade-off. Salespeople who don't talk about those things, don't bring those up, don't set the right expectation, it's going to lead to buyer's remorse. It's going to lead to upset clients. It's going to lead to all kinds of things. And so you get a lot of cancellations, and that's what we don't want as well. That scorched earth manipulation, just bad old school sales model, which leads to a lot of cancellations, is a problem. A lot of organizations tolerate it because they think, oh, well, that person's selling a lot, and they don't really look at what's the effect of it. They sold 10, but we ended up with 7 that tried to cancel. We kept 3. 2 months later, 3 more canceled. Like, what am I really getting as a business? What am I putting up with? The downside is a lot of sales organizations and operations are looking at that and going, we don't care what happens. Our job is to sell. That's your job to deal with it down the flow, right? Down the customer journey. And so we're just going to focus on sales. Let's sell, sell, sell. Who cares what happens? And those companies are really dangerous internally, externally, and so on. And I won't get into all that. So that's what the other end of them, right? And that just means that things aren't going well. You shouldn't have that many cancellations. Now, let's talk about the balance. Let's talk about where I feel, in my experience, you should be. Keeping in mind, I can't address the cancellation percentage, the closing percentage of every industry, of every person in every vertical, because everything is different. Depends on what you're selling, how long the sales cycle is, where the lead source is, where the leads are coming from, the quality of the leads, and all of those stuff. And I don't mean just like, you know, the perfect Glengarry, Glenn Ross leads. I'm talking about, it depends on where the leads come in. Are you doing direct mail and it's an inbound call? Well, that's going to have one closing percentage. Did someone fill out a form on your website and you're making an outbound call to them? That's going to have a different closing percentage. Did they see an ad on Facebook and fill out a Facebook lead form and now you're giving them a call? That's going to be different as well. Is your company just buying data and throwing it in a dialer? Well, that's going to be different also. And so that depends, the company depends, the price point, like all these factors are going to adjust what the closing percentage should be for your company, and then also the cancellation percentage. But here's what I'll tell you, is that you should have some cancellation. Again, this is where sometimes this gets controversial with the companies and the teams that I deal with, because they're like, wait, you want me to have cancels? And the answer is yes, I actually do. I think a sales professional should have cancels. Now, again, it could be cancel attempts that they end up saving, but You should have, as a sales professional, people who want to cancel, right? Let me say that again, and then I'll explain why. Because some of you out there might be thinking, this dude has lost it. I can't believe he is literally saying this out loud in public. You should have some level of cancellations or cancellation attempts if you are a professional. Now, let me explain why I believe that to be true and why I have seen that and I know that's the case. And we've talked about it a lot. This is session number 19. If you've watched all of the other 18 sessions, then you know where I'm going to go with this. If you haven't, this will be a mini recap, but there's so many other sessions that I did. So many times on podcasts, I talk about it. It's in the book. If you want a copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, if you don't have a copy, email me and you just pay for shipping. I'll send it to you free. I'll sign it. I'll send it over to you. Just email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. And then just put in some basic information. I'll send it to you. Here is the deal. In order to be a sales professional and to be using authentic persuasion, I mean, you can use, we won't even talk about the manipulation side, right? And the people who use that, but to move someone forward to buy, you're taking someone who is confused. They're worried. They're scared. They have fears. They have hopes. They have dreams. They have challenges, issues, baggage, which I talked about in session 18 and I recapped earlier, but that's who you're dealing with. If they knew what they wanted, they would have said, I want X. Here's my money, right? And we've all experienced those. Those are the people who don't cancel. That's the 10% you can always close because they know what they want. And you're just there to take orders and just there to move people forward, right? And that's easy. Otherwise, people need help. They are stuck in their comfort zone. Outside of their comfort zone is change. Fundamentally, if you've never gone to this restaurant before, at some level, that equals change. That's unknown. Who knows what's going to happen? Is the food going to be good? Service going to be good? Am I going to find a hair in my food? Am I going to like the food? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be fun? Right? Like there's all these unknowns. Now, if it's Mexican food, which I always love, and it's always my default go-to, is if it's Mexican food and I've gone to enough Mexican food places, then I'm pretty sure I know what it's going to be like. Now, I might like it. I might not. If I don't like it, I won't go back again, but I know it's not going to be terrible, right? And now with being able to search online, I can go on, I can read reviews, I can see what people do. I see how many stars it has on Yelp or on Google and things like that and go, I can make a pretty good educated guess that this one is going to be good. And this one over here, it seems kind of sketchy and I don't want to go there. But trying a new restaurant, traveling to a new city, staying in a new hotel, going and watching a new movie, like all of these things represent change. In the primal part of our brain, the amygdala part of our brain that's been keeping us surviving and thriving as a species on this planet and dominating it for good and for evil, its job is to keep us safe. Comfort zone is safe. Outside of that is danger. Outside of it is the unknown. Unknown equals danger. Danger equals death. That's what our brain thinks about, right? Some people literally won't go to a new restaurant or try a new kind of food because they don't like it or they're worried about it or they don't want to try something new. Have you ever had Brussels sprouts before? No, but I don't think I would like that. Like, what do you mean? You're not two. If you're an adult, it's like, okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe you don't ever want to try Brussels sprouts, but the point is that's your brain saying, we want to stay comfortable and safe and cozy in what we know and stick to what we know instead of trying something different. That's okay. Not saying anything wrong with that. But that's what your customers are experiencing. The fact that they haven't bought from you yet and don't already own whatever you're selling is that they're in their comfort zone and they don't know what to do and they're worried about change. Your job is to help move them forward. That's what the authentic persuasion pathway is for. That's what I've talked about in many sessions. If you didn't catch those and you want to skip right to those, search authentic persuasion pathway or email me and I'll send you the links for those. Just that segment of walking you through that process so you can help them embrace change and then buy from you. So when you're doing that, you're taking somebody who's in their comfort zone and safe and you're moving them strategically and effectively outside their comfort zone into something new, which is your product or service, right? You're using authentic persuasion. You're helping them see the value. They've got a square peg problem. They've got a square peg goal. You've got a square peg solution, perfect fit. You help them feel safe, successful at fear elimination. That's your job. That's your duty, is to help them feel safe. That's great. That's what you're doing. So that's what you're helping them overcome, right? You're helping them say, yes, I will do that. You're right. That is the best solution. And I will move forward with that, right? Like somebody who says, you know what? I do feel safe. I'm going to try skydiving. And then they get up in the plane and they go, I don't want to do this. I don't feel safe anymore. I'm not jumping, right? Like, take me back down. That's what that cancellation is. You were effective at getting them outside of their comfort zone and making that decision and agreeing. Then what happens? You get off the phone. You get done with your meeting. You get done with your video call with them. Then their brain starts thinking. The amygdala starts thinking about it, starts thinking and worrying and wondering, what's out there? Wait a second. What did I do? Why did I do this? Why would I sign up for this? Why did I buy this thing? What am I thinking? Like, what's going to happen? Is it really going to be effective? What did I just pay for that? Did I pay too much? Wait, should I have paid less? What would other people have paid? What will my parents think? What will my spouse think? What about my friends? Oh my gosh, what's going on? Right? And buyer's remorse is crazy. I'm going to talk about that in the next section, where next week, when we talk about buyer's remorse and how to prevent it, right? Right now in this session, I'm telling you, it's good for you to get them to that place. Sounds totally weird. I got it. But next week, I'm going to talk about preventing, which I'm telling you should have cancels. Next week, I'm going to tell you how to keep them from canceling, because I don't want them to cancel, but I want you to get people to be uncomfortable, because if they are uncomfortable, it means you move them from their comfort zone outside of their comfort zone. And as long as you're using your powers for good and not evil, as long as you're using authentic persuasion, then you know what's outside their comfort zone is valuable. You know it's going to help them. You know it's going to get them to a better place, right? They just don't know it and they get scared. So I want you to get them uncomfortable, because you know it's a better thing for them. That's what I want. And what's going to happen? Mind's going to play tricks on them. 2 o'clock in the morning, they're going to wake up freaking out in a cold sweat, thinking, oh my God, what did I do? They're going to call you, leave you a voicemail at work, or send you an email wanting to cancel, or wanting to talk, or wanting to try to cancel, or wanting to undo the contract. And that's okay. Again, this is all predicated on the fact that they need your service or want your service, that it's the right thing for them, that it will help them, right? That you're helping the right people move forward. And as I talked about a few weeks ago, is that if you couldn't help them, you would have told them no, right? If you're helping people with credit card debt and they don't have any credit card debt, you tell them to go on their way and keep doing what they're doing. But if they've got credit card debt or they've got bad credit and they want to fix their credit score, great, let me help you, right? That's what you want. That's what this is based on. This is based on the fact that you're helping only the people who you should be helping, that qualify, that are a good fit. They match what your company can provide. Okay. So that is the big key. What's the right balance of cancellations? What's that number? I don't know, because that's going to be up to you. That's going to be up to your industry, your job, your company, your manager, some kind of historical numbers. What does that look like? Right. We don't want zero. We don't want a ton. But what is that number? What does that look like? What is acceptable for you? And if your company is doing its job and they understand this and they're okay with this and they realize what you're supposed to be doing as a salesperson, then what they will do is give you a buffer. They'll say, you know what? We're okay with this amount of cancellations, returns, refunds, you know, or cancellation attempts. Like, this is okay. This is acceptable. This means that you moved people forward, got them to make the right decision for them, get out of their comfort zone, and then they change their mind afterwards. As long as you're not doing shady stuff, as long as you're not over-promising, under-delivering, overselling, under-explaining, you know, as long as you're not doing those things, as long as you're compliant in doing the right thing, you're always going to have people who are going to freak out. Everyone freaks out. Everyone freaks out no matter what it is, right? Like, you could buy some consumable product and be like, man, like, I have this water bottle. That was like expensive. Do I really need this water bottle? Like, on the drive home, you could literally be, you know, rethinking what you just bought. Did I really need all those pairs of shoes? Like, maybe I don't, right? So it happens to everybody. Now, the varying degree, why it happens, what's involved, what people are thinking about, you know, how it's relative to what they've got going on, right? Like, to some people, this water bottle is not that expensive. It's nothing, right? To others, that's a big deal. So it's also relative to that individual, what's going on. So you have to take those factors into account. But you want some kind of cancel. Remember, the balance is where you know that you're helping the right people move forward. When you do that, human instinct, survival instinct is going to kick in at some point and they're going to freak out. As long as you know you did the right thing and helped the right people forward, then that's okay. And the key is, it's also about you not being an order taker, but moving people forward, using the authentic persuasion pathway, using persuasion and moving people to make the right decision. Like somebody who you know has a problem, they admit that they have a problem in something, and then you get them to take steps on it. At some point, they're going to backpedal because they're going to want to go back to their comfort zone. That's okay. You just want to keep persuading. You want to push them towards a better place for them. Again, human instinct is going to kick in. People are going to revert, and that's okay. That's what I want you to do, because that means you're a sales professional. As long as it's the right people moving in the right direction, then that's okay. One last thing on this topic that I think is very important is that if you're at a sales professional level and you are playing this game of sales at this level, right? Using authentic persuasion, moving people forward, moving the right people forward, doing it in a way that's empathetic and where you also know that it's your duty and your responsibility to help people feel safe and move them forward, right? All of these things we talk about. Where you get to the point is that you generally know where these cancellations are going to come from. You understand what's going to happen and you understand who might cancel on you. And the reason why is because you know who you moved the furthest out of their comfort zone, right? You know the people where you overcame a bunch of objections, right? And you had to deal with a lot of stuff to get them. You knew it, like you need this more than anything else. And then you spend the next hour overcoming objections or weeks or months or whatever that might be. And you just know, like their subconscious, their internal dialogue, their mind just threw everything at you because they were afraid. That's where those objections come from, because they're scared, because they're worried about change. Same thing we've been talking about, right? And so what happens is the more that stuff happens, you get to the point where you realize like this person, I'm not surprised when they call and try to cancel or call with doubts or call with questions, because they moved really far away from, no, I don't want this, but I need it, to, okay, let's do it, but with lots of hesitation and fear. And that's okay. That's what you want. You want to be able to predict. Like, I'm not surprised when John calls me back, right? I know. Also, the ones that you know where, like for me, in my experience in the past, I knew cancellations might come from somebody who had to talk to somebody else, right? It's the husband who makes a decision and then knows, well, I got to talk to my wife about this. I'm not sure what she's going to say, but let's sign up for it now. And then I'll deal with that. Or the wife who I speak to and then talk to the husband, or the adult who's like, well, I'm going to sign up for this, but I'm going to run it past my parents because they always help me with these kind of things. Right. And so that where there's another party involved, they're going to go to the other party. The other party is going to raise doubts and their stuff is going to kick in, and it's going to trigger your client stuff to kick in mentally. And then it's just going to spiral. And then that's where those come up. And that's okay. As long as you know that where they're coming from, the key is have that as a healthy balance, have that as a, you have that balance of cancellations. Again, we don't want zero. Zero means you're an order taker. Sounds weird. Sounds crazy. Zero means you're an order taker. Too many means you're doing things basically wrong, right? You're relying on manipulation, tricks, tactics, all kinds of strategies that are not effective. And we don't want that either. So find that right balance and understand your job is to move people forward out of their comfort zone. And when you do that, people are going to have remorse. They're going to have doubts. They're going to have fears. After everything wears off, after the excitement wears off, they're going to go, wait a second, did I make the right decision? That's what I want you to be aware of. That's what I want you to be okay with and understand. That's all right. Maybe you're an appointment setter and you're setting appointments and setting demos. Some level of people not showing up and changing their mind is okay. That means you're moving people forward and getting people uncomfortable, getting people to do something and take action that could help them. They weren't thinking about it, or they're worried about it, or they just want to go back to doing what they've always done, which, you know, the definition of insanity will just lead them to continue to get what they've always had, And if they expect different results, then they're crazy, right? So that's it for today. That's the main thing I wanted you to understand, is just understand the cancellation paradox, how that happens. If you have the Selling with Authentic Persuasion transform from order taker to quota breaker book, it's in chapter 18. If you don't, email me jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com and I will send you the link so that you can just put your information in, pay for shipping. I'm happy to send you a signed copy. And then the last thing for today, I just want to remind everyone, the Vision Board Challenge is live. So running the Vision Board Challenge right now, it is a four-part email series with videos where I explain why you should make a vision board, why they're important, and then how to actually make them this time of year, any time of year, no matter what. But this time of year is that time of year where people just want to kick off the year in a good way. It is now February. It's never too late to make a vision board. You should make it anytime you don't have one. Doesn't matter the day, month. Don't wait till I'm going to make one next month. I'll do it at the beginning of the quarter. No, if you don't have a vision board, you don't even know what a vision board is. If you've never heard of that, if you thought about it and never done it, go to jasoncutter.com, scroll a little bit down. There is a link on there for signing up for the Vision Board Challenge. It's free. There's no call to action. It's just something I put together because I see this as a powerful tool. As silly as it might sound to some people, others fully know the value and how it's helped them. I have stories for myself and how it's been amazing and the things that have come to fruition that were on my vision board. So make sure you check that out, jasoncutter.com. Look for the vision board challenge link and you'll find it on there. So that's it for this. That's it for session 19. I appreciate it. If you're tuning in live, thanks for tuning in. If you're watching the replay, you can always like this, share it, leave a comment. Please, let's get that out there. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure that you subscribe there because I got so many things that I'm putting out on YouTube. And if you're listening to the replay on this on the podcast, or you want to listen on the podcast, go to Authentic Persuasion Show on any podcast player and you can find this. Make sure you subscribe there so you can get these as well. Plus, I put at random put some episodes on that as well, so you can catch some of the content. But that's it for today. I appreciate everybody for coming in, tuning in. Hopefully this was valuable. Hopefully this helps you. And I hope you have a great rest of your day and keep on selling with authentic.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion Weekly Live Training Session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. And I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.